In. It is Easter Sunday, but I am changing it to Resurrection Sunday 2024. Before we dive in, anyone ever wonder where the word Easter comes from? Does anyone know where Easter? Like, why in the world do we call it Easter? Unless you read the King James, because, you know, King James takes some liberties with Scripture, you will not find the word Easter anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere. So does anyone know where we got this holiday from? Easter Island? Good guess, but no. Easter is actually the name of a Saxon goddess, and right around the time of Passover, there would be sacrifices made to Easter. So the Christian church, when it took over and became the dominant religion, hijacked this and decided that instead of calling it Passover, we would take this name, make it our own, and start calling it Easter. And unfortunately, what has happened is, because Easter is this vague thing that we really don't have any ties to, the world has taken hold of this and made Easter something that it's not. They've taken this vague name that really has no ties to anything, and we have now the Easter Bunny. And we have chocolate eggs, and we have all of these things that have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus, but the world uses it as a means of making money, uses it as a means of distraction, taking our mind away from the thing that we really need to be celebrating, because today is not just Passover, today is not just Easter, today is Resurrection Sunday. And if you don't know why that is a big deal, I'm glad you're here, because I'm going to fill in some of those blanks. Resurrection is a big deal for the church. Of all the days in the Christian calendar, today is the big one. Today is the day where we draw our hope, we draw our strength, we draw our confidence. Resurrection is central to everything that means to be a Christian. So this morning, we're going to dive into all of that. If you want to follow along on the app, all the notes are there with all the scriptures. It'll, of course, always be on the screen. There are Bibles on your tables if you want to follow along. We will be spending the majority of our day today in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you brought your own Bible, you can follow along there. But Resurrection Sunday. As Michelle said, the ladies came to the tomb and they found it empty. They found the guards laying there as though they were dead, in shock of what has happened. The angel has rolled the stone. The body is gone. And over the next number of days, the disciples, the apostles, the followers are going to have these experiences where they are going to see Jesus alive, well, walking around. But why is resurrection such a big deal? If the cross was where sin was defeated, where Jesus paid the price, why did Jesus have to come back from the dead? Well, number one, resurrection confirms that Jesus is the Son of God. John 20, verse 30 to 31, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the one recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have power by his name. Romans 1:4, and he has shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you didn't know, for Jesus, Christ is not his last name. It wasn't like Mary Christ and Joseph Christ. He didn't just take on a last name. More literal translation there is it's Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It is not a last name. It is a title that we identify that Jesus is the long-awaited Savior of the world. He is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, our Lord. But the resurrection confirms that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. And all of history, as you read through Scripture, lots of people God brought back from the dead, but usually there was a prophet involved, and there was praying, and there's a procedure. Jesus is the only one in all of human history who's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm just going to get up now. No one prayed. No one went to the tomb. No one anointed. He just got up 3 days after he was crucified, he awoke, he arose, and Scripture says it's by the power of the Holy Spirit resting within him. The resurrection is the confirmation that God, Jesus really is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten, and it truly is his name and his name alone that we can put our faith and our hope. B.B. Warfield said this, Christ himself deliberately staked his whole claim to the credit of men upon his resurrection. When asked for a sign, he pointed to this as the single and sufficient credential. This is the one thing Jesus did. Jesus healed a lot. Jesus spoke with authority like no one ever had. But it is because of his resurrection that we have our hope. We have our confidence that he is who he says he is. Number two, the resurrection is a demonstration of God's power. Acts 2:24, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Acts 3:15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this fact. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. We see the resurrection as one of God's many great displays of power. And we're talking in a little bit, I'm going to point to the fact that this is one of those faith-building things. That God did what he said he was going to do. And this is part of faith, is believing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And he said the Messiah was going to come back 3 days later. Jesus himself said, I'm going to die before the Pharisees. I'm going to die before these crowds. But 3 days, in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. There is no greater act of power. I don't know about anybody else, but I have not successfully brought anything back from the dead. Unless it has batteries. That I can fix. I just put new batteries in and we're good. Other than that, it's done. Jesus, God himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, brings Jesus back from the dead. Something that had never been done. Something that was so supernatural. It was a full display of who God is and all that he is able to do. And as I was saying, the resurrection is central to everything. Number one, the resurrection is the basis of your faith. And this is where we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 15. Paul takes a long time unpacking the significance of resurrection. He really wants the Corinthian church to understand why this is so important. And so we're going to park here and we're going to let Paul teach us why it is so significant for us even still today. So number one, it is central. It is the basis of your faith. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the dead. But if that can't be true, if there's no resurrection from the dead. If a while back we unpacked what faith was. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is. God is going to do what he says he's going to do and living in obedience accordingly. This is faith. It is not one or the other. It is all three. Believing God is who he says he is. God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And we are going to live in faith and obedience accordingly. So when God says he's going to raise Jesus from the dead, if that didn't happen, if there is no resurrection, then God really isn't who he says he is. He really can't do what he's going to do. Then our faith is pointless. Let that sink in. If God didn't do this, if Jesus didn't accomplish this, then your faith is useless, is pointless. Our faith in Jesus Christ hangs on the fact that he really did on the third day, on Resurrection Sunday, that stone was rolled, he breathed life anew, and he walked around a man. Not a spirit body. The apostles touched the holes and touched his side. He ate food. He really was back from the dead. Your faith hangs on this truth because he is who he says he is. Number two, it is the basis of your justification. Verse 16, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. How many of us, when we first came to believe, and maybe you're here and you've never actually made that commitment, then I'm really glad you're here. But lots of us who are now confess ourselves to be believers of Jesus, this was the thing that drew us to God. We recognized that we were sinful. We recognized that there was something wrong in our life, and it didn't matter what we did. We couldn't do anything about it. We couldn't make it right. And here comes Jesus. Here comes the message of hope that Jesus takes away our sin. He removes the barrier. He gives us full access to God Almighty. Because he is raised from the dead, you have been wiped. The slate's been wiped clean. You are new. You have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. But if Jesus is not resurrected, then that's not true. If Jesus isn't resurrected, because like I said, then it means that God really isn't who he says he is. And that is really scary thought. We need this to be true because it's true, you and I have this unhindered full access to God the Father. We are saved, we are washed clean, and eternity awaits us. You are healed of your sins. You are justified in the eyes of God because Jesus did not stay dead. He came back to life. He rose on the third day, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is really good news. Number three, it is the basis of your hope. Verse 18, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. This, Paul is continuing. If he's not raised, then everyone who's died, they're lost. They're gone, and we should mourn like everybody else. And if only our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we are to be pitied more than anyone in the world. Paul is saying that our hope is that there's more than this life. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that some of us have come to faith thinking that Jesus was going to wave his magic wand and life was going to become easy and painless and everything was always going to go our way all the time on this side of eternity. And if you've been a Christian for a while, you know that simply is not the case. We still face challenges. We still get sick. We still go through hardships. We still face the things like everyone else, but we don't do it like everyone else because the Holy Spirit now rests within us. But more than that, we know that this is not all there is. Scripture tells us that life is but a whisper in the wind. That eternity awaits, and it's hard to grasp as we're going through life and it gets hard and we face these challenges. It starts to make life feel even longer, but I assure you that life, this life is going to end. Eternity awaits, and we live in light of eternity. We live in light of the hope that this is not all there is. And even when we go through the challenges of life, we don't go through like everyone else because we don't do it alone. Even when we're by ourselves, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. I've been reading through Exodus and Genesis and Deuteronomy and the first five books, and God says over and over and over again, be strong, be courageous, because I am with you. I go before you. You don't do this on your own. Life really is different. And if you haven't experienced that, I'm sorry. But I've been a Christian a long time, and I look back at all the things I've faced, all the challenges, all the difficult people in my life that I've had to work through, and I can't imagine doing it without God. And it was hard. It was tough. It was formative. Like, it was not pleasant. But if as hard as it was, I can't imagine it being any harder. But it would have been. Without God walking with it, walking through me, walking through with me through it. There we go. English. It's the basis of our hope. Because if Jesus was resurrected, guess what? We're all going to be resurrected. If Jesus is resurrected, it's the hope that death isn't the end. But in fact, death is just the beginning. Acts or verse 20. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And so you see, just as death came into the world through one man, now resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. And just as everyone dies, because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. And there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Paul makes an intentional spot of saying that Jesus is the first of the harvest. And what Paul is doing is he's referencing an Old Testament practice. In Exodus, Moses told the people that when you take off the harvest, you bring the first of everything that comes off to the Lord. Why? Because when we bring the first fruits, it's called the first fruits, when the people brought the first fruits, it was an act of faith saying, this is just the beginning. That the full harvest is yet to come. And this is just a taste of all the goodness that God is going to pour out on me. This is the first fruits. And Jesus is the first fruit. Jesus is the first one resurrected. Because remember, Jesus died with absolutely no guarantee. He didn't die when you were his friend. He didn't die because you were saved. He died while each and every one of us were enemies. There was no guarantee of any comeback from this. But he died all the same as the greatest act of faith that I am the first of many. The first of many to be resurrected. The first of many to come into eternity. He is the first fruits of the harvest. And my hope is that every single person listening to my voice right now is going to be part of that harvest. Oop. The resurrection is central. It is of greatest importance. It's why Paul goes through such great lengths in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Since I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me, Christ died for our sins, as the Scriptures said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, later by all the apostles, and last of all, as though one being born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Paul takes the time to remind us that it is not just the testimony of the 11 that we believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. It's interesting that Paul forgets that it was the ladies who found it first, but anyways, Peter, the 12, the apostles, over 500 people saw him alive at one point. If you are in a court of law and you've got 500 witnesses of what has happened, that's a slam dunk. You don't get any better. And that's what Paul is saying. This is so important that I'm going to show you that this is an established fact. Hundreds of people saw Jesus walking around alive, conquering death, conquering sin. He is resurrected. And this is good news for all of us who believe that he is our Lord, our Messiah. If Romans 10 is you, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be. Not there's a chance. You're going to roll the dice on this. You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. This morning, this is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of why we are here. That if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and we declare it with our mouth, then you are forgiven, you are washed clean, and eternity awaits you. Everything that makes us a Christian hangs on this truth. The question is, it happened so long ago, what difference does it make now? It should make all the difference. You don't pray like others pray because you don't pray to an idol. You don't pray. I know sometimes it feels like you're praying to the wall or the ceiling, but you're not. You're praying to a living God. You're praying to a man who conquered death, who sits at the right hand. It says Jesus intercedes for us. He is the great high priest because he's alive. Eternity awaits. You don't pray. You don't live like everyone else. Like I said, the scripture tells us that God goes before us and he walks with us. We walk with a confidence and a boldness and a faith that can't be found anywhere else. You shouldn't live like everyone else. You are different. You are made new because of what Jesus has accomplished in your heart, in your mind, in your life, if you declare that he is your Lord and that you believe he is raised from the dead. You are set apart. You are different. But so often, I see so many Christians walking in defeat. Oh, I see so many believers beat up by the world, by situations. This morning, I want to encourage you that no more. No more walking in defeat. No more walking in burdened, discouraged, because you have the light of the world dwelling within you. You have the very power that raised Jesus from the dead indwelling in your heart, in your mind, through the Holy Spirit. So this is my task for you this week. Instead of having discussion time, as all of you have become familiar with, on your tables, and couples, you might have to share, because I never know how many people are coming. Apparently, I need to just start printing more off. Our declarations. And this is what the paper says. It says, Jesus has been resurrected and is alive. Sorry, the new one says, I believe Jesus has been resurrected and is alive today. Because this is true, I believe that God has the power to turn things around. I believe that I am forgiven of all my sin. I have hope for a better future, and I believe that eternity awaits. And I'll bring this back. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who talk will reap the consequences. You have the power of life and death in your mouth. I want you this week, every single day, first thing you do is to declare these truths over your life. Some of you already do this. Some of you have a list of declarations that you say, and they're very biblically based. Awesome. You can add this to it. There's not very long. I believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected and is alive today. I believe. I don't have it in front of me. I believe that God has the power to turn things around. Some of you need to believe that. Some of you need to hold on to that truth because you're going through some tough things and it looks overwhelming. God has the power to turn it around for you. I believe that I am forgiven of all my sin. Some of us are holding on to stuff that God has taken away. Some of us are holding on to regrets and hurts and mistakes that have been made, and we are holding ourselves guilty, and God has said, you are forgiven because of what my son did. You need to forgive yourself. All of it. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too bad. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I am forgiven of all. I intentionally capitalized all. I really want that word to sink in. I have hope for a better future. I have hope that Jesus can come and establish his kingdom, and sin and death and destruction are going to go when he comes back. And I have hope that death is not the end, but is just the beginning, that eternity awaits me on the other side. You need to declare this. You need to believe this. You need to let it sink into your heart and your mind and let it transform you. For you were transformed by the renewing of your mind. Declare these truths every day and watch God do what only he can do. Restore your confidence, restore your boldness, restore who he has called you to be. So here's my task. This morning, if you want to stick around and chat and talk about the message, you can talk about these declarations and unpack which one stands out to you, which one is significant to you. I know some of us probably got turkeys in the oven or whatever you're doing for Easter. If you got to run, God bless. But I want you to take these declarations. If you need, take a picture of the screen, take a picture of the paper so you can have it on your phone. I know that's kind of the way some of us like to operate. I'm going to pray for us. And we will let the Spirit lead us wherever it's going to lead us. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for what you accomplished through your Son. That you have the power to create and sustain. You have the power to breathe life into difficult situations. And God, by your power, your Son rose from the dead, conquered sin, conquered death. God, I thank you for the faith and the hope and the strength and the confidence that is found in that truth. God, as believers, I pray we hold on to it with all that we have, and that it would transform us, it would change us, it would renew our minds, that we would walk differently. God, I pray against the feeling of defeat, any condemnation, any guilt. God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke those things because they have no place amongst God's holy people. God, help us to walk in the newness that is found in you and you alone. Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person who hears my voice that their eyes would be opened and you would instantly go, you got to do your declarations. You have to declare these truths. And as we do it faithfully every day, God, may we be changed. May we speak life over our situation. May we speak life into our hearts and our minds, and may we become the men and women that you have called us to be. God, I thank you for all that this Sunday represents. We praise you, give you all of our glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. All God's people said, amen.